I listen to a lot of podcasts, and they always start out the same. They always say, hello and welcome. So I've been sitting here for the last 5 minutes trying to think of something different to say other than, hello and welcome. And I've failed. So, hello and welcome to episode 13 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, I have three of my friends in the basement, in the studio, and we are going to just talk cyclocross. And then at the end of that, we're going to talk about music some. This is a Crosshairs Radio Kids Don't Follow podcast mashup. Hope you enjoy it. We cover a lot of different topics from European cyclocross, U.S. nationals, single speed, world champions, cyclocross, masters worlds. It is all in here. It's a good time. Really enjoyed having these guys in my basement talking about two things I love, bikes and music. No ads or plugs or pleas on today's show. I just want to wish everybody a happy holidays. Hope they had a good time last weekend. Got to get in some good long bike rides, and let's get right into it. This is our show, episode 13. Hello and welcome. Should we start?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but
no.
this is good.
Yeah, so we're here.
It's like a variety show.
This is Crosshairs Radio, episode 13. On today's show, we have a round table. A round table of my buddies, my pals, my friends. Got Taylor Jones.
Hey, everybody.
Elliot Caldwell.
Hello.
Both of whom you may have heard if you ever listened to the Kids Don't Follow podcast, but instead of talking about music exclusively, we're going to talk about cyclocross. And then we also have Kevin Hayes. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, everyone.
Kevin listens to ska, so he wasn't allowed on the the music podcast.
I'll be on it eventually. I have one episode coming in there.
He listens to third wave ska. Let's just. I do own second wave ska records.
I do a little second too.
I know, but the fact that
mostly third though.
The fact that you listen to third wave, I think, is what the problem is.
What's first wave, like dance hall?
Yeah, first wave. I think it's like when
second wave is like madness.
Or specials and selector and all that.
Yeah. I'll get into it all in the episode, guys.
Kevin's really into like post Y2K ska.
Okay,
I'm young.
Pun ska, like all the bands with pun names.
Oh, I thought you said punk ska.
No, pun ska. It's like all the pun name bands that drive me crazy.
No, I don't listen to those ones.
Yes, you do. Your favorite band is a pun name.
Is that true?
R-E-E-L.
Okay, I guess that's true. I didn't know. No, I thought you were talking about the ones like Scottalites and like Skanking Pickles.
Mephiscopheles.
And Metallica and, you know.
Skaboom.
Skaboom.
All right, we're going to talk about cyclocross. We have to talk about two of the most important races of the week that took place.
Of the season.
Of the season. And we're going to start out with the first of those two races and talk about Bonin and Friends.
Yes.
That is the...
This is the highlight of my European cyclocross
season.
It was
pretty much the premier race of the season, I think.
Yeah, so Taylor, why don't you just sort of give us a quick rundown of what this is. Quick
rundown is that this is a charity race that Tom Boonen has hosted for, it's probably got to be about a decade now, I'd say. I'm not sure how many years, but the idea is that he invites all of his friends and they come and they do a little, I guess it's competitive. It's like a handicapped race. So if you have a guy like, you know, Zdenek Steibar show up, who actually knows how to race a cross bike, they'll stage him like 2 or 3 minutes behind everyone else. But it's comical because you get all these roadies who have clearly never ridden a cross bike before, and you throw them on a course that has a ton of sand.
Well, yeah. it starts in the sand, right?
Yeah, it's on a beach, and it's like a Le Mans style start.
I was going to say that was the one thing. As much as I like this race, I think the one thing that they did wrong, even in a charity race, is the Le Mans start.
They had guys running through the water of the lake to get to their bike, like shoes wet, like clip of shoes just soaking.
It's great though because you have. You know, the full complement, like guys who are on full-on like team issue cross bikes. You have guys on mountain bikes
with barns.
But that start, well, going back to the one thing that I did want to say about the start is one of my favorite John Verheul quotes about the Le Mans start, that
if you live in a region that has a Le Mans start, you should either start running races yourself or move.
That's it.
That's good.
But I guess they get the pass on this. So who won
this year was Sean DeBee of Lotto Bellisol,
which is amazing because the entire Quickstep Etix Quickstep team showed up to the race, and not one of them won.
They're being supportive. I mean, you know, they just wanted to be out there to show some love, but they probably weren't that competitive.
But you got to think. I mean, it was all those top sport guys and all the, like, Nicky Terpstra. That guy's had to have done his share of cyclocross races in the day.
But he was on a mountain bike.
With Barnes.
With Barnes. I know plenty of USAC officials that would not let that stand.
It was also, it was not a bad course either. I mean, looking at it, you know,
it's pretty good.
There's a lot of running.
Yeah, there was a nice long, the nice long sand section was great for the photographers because then you got some really comical photos of these guys trying to ride the sand, and the faces they were making when they were realizing that they were getting ready to have to dismount and run. It was great.
Was it a Bradley Wiggins-esque?
Not quite that bad.
I love
that's
that
good though. That's a good reference. I like that. The one thing I observed that I've already told these guys, the Marcel Kittel was in this race, which was hilarious. Also, was wearing nothing that showed he was still technically under contract with Giant Alpecine. He's wearing some nondescript kit. But every time I see him, he keeps finding smaller and smaller helmets, or his head just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
It's that hair. Gotta fit it somewhere, right?
Yeah. He's really just protecting his hair. Is what it looks like.
I think he was on a specialized bike, though.
Well, that's because he's
like
on a new
I said,
team.
Nothing.
Well, no, I know, but yeah. I wasn't sure if that was even a faux pas or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think it's a faux pas as long as you're in the kit. But he has just some plain black kit. But it was amusing.
Well, there's one thing for sure. It definitely was not a sprinter's course because who else was in this? Mr. Andre Greipel himself.
Really?
Yes.
Oh wow! I did not realize that.
Well, I would say he probably was just weighted down. He's probably sinking to the bottom of the sand, but that didn't seem to be that big of a case or the case for the second most important race of the week, if not the year, which was
the Flandrian Cross.
Which category of the Flandrian Cross? The former retired world championship race.
Exactly. Which we were watching.
I guess that's what we'll call it.
Yeah. I should have just recorded us watching the highlights of this race because that would have made reactions wise. Now, most of you probably saw the highlights of Bart Wellens when he was doing his victory laps, his chair in for a Copenberg Cross, where he did a lap and everybody rode behind him, and Bart looks like he's been living well in his short retirement. I think the biggest surprise of this race had to be seeing Niels Albert, who was right up there with Bart in body.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where he is racing in a not like a team world champ issue even jersey or long sleeve jersey. He just has a plain nondescript one. It's just white with the bands.
club size.
Yeah, club size. Because club I'm pretty
got
sure
the UCI there, shot yeah, beforehand.
I'm pretty sure there's no BKCP skin suit that he raced in that he could fit in now.
But
Erwin Vervaeken is out there and he looks like he could still show up and he looks fit.
Yeah.
Wellens cutting the course about halfway through, which was a good move.
Still it was amazing.
Put him right back into the
Did
pack.
They just do one lap? Was that just one lap?
Oh, man, they couldn't have done more than one lap.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I mean, I figured it was just one lap. But I mean, it's one thing if you're doing like three laps and Wellens cuts the course on like the last one. That's like more of like a ha-ha sort of like makes sense. But the one lap cutting, I mean, that's just, I don't know.
Yeah, so Niels Albert, Bart Wellens, Danny DeBee, so
Sean DeBee's uncle.
Yeah,
yeah.
So little family affair from our two most important races, Paul Hergers, and then Erwin Vervaeken. So and they raised some money for cardiac research. So maybe that's why they let Niels win.
Yeah, I think Vervaeken would have put him in the tape if he had to. I think if it was, and probably could have.
Very likely. Yeah.
So those were the two biggest races. Anything else we need to talk about?
I mean, Niels's hair got like champagne all over it. So I can imagine he's not very happy about that. Yeah. They did douse him at the end.
Yeah, it was a muddy course too. It was tough going for those guys. But I guess we should maybe back up a little bit because there were other races worth talking about in the European scene, including
real races.
Oh, come on, they're all real races.
They're all real.
I'm sure that one got great.
We haven't even talked about the most real race, which happened, which was single-speed cyclocross world championships.
Oh, my goodness, I didn't even put that on the list. Yeah, let's talk
Where
about that.
Where was that exactly?
It was in Victoria, British Columbia.
Which is further west than Vancouver, if it's hard. It's kind of hard to imagine.
I didn't know.
Further west.
I didn't know the world championships was allowed to be outside the U.S.
world.
Yeah, when's the World Series ever been outside the U.S.?
It's happened.
This year?
Oh, I guess it has happened in Canada.
Yeah, multiple times, actually.
Not exclusively, though.
No, it's true.
North America, outside. Yeah, that kills that argument.
Just by one city or two. Well,
they had a Le Mans start.
So they did, yeah. Who won?
Well, the men's winner was... Any guesses?
Adam Craig, I think, yeah.
Correct.
Still Adam Craig.
He's trying to get his full body tattoo.
Yeah. Well, that was the best part of it. For free. They screwed up the tattoo.
Did
they
you got see that?
They got the abbreviation
the W
wrong.
And the C. The W and the C were backwards.
Yeah.
You know, every time I get a tattoo, you actually have to sign an agreement verifying what they write on you before it's done. So that's really his fault.
I mean,
I'm not sure. I'm sure he wasn't worried about it, but, you know.
He seemed to find the humor in it.
Yeah, I think so. And he's got plenty of other ones, so he can.
Yeah.
Show
and the women's winner was also a former.
Is it Michael Dick? I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. So
Canadian, right?
Canadian.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So you don't have to. You can be not just can they exist outside the United States, but non-United States citizens can also win it.
Well, Vicky Barkley won in Philly, and
right.
She is not a U.S.
She
citizen.
She is a United citizen, right?
Yeah. There you
go. So I was there.
So was I.
So what happens? What happens at the single speed cyclocross world championship?
Well, it's a multi-day event, at least from my past two experiences with this. They start you off with the feats of strength. And then the qualified riders then move along to the final competition. And then there's also another category.
You forgot the last chance qualifiers.
Ooh, there's the last chance qualifiers. I made it in before that.
Is this a UCI race?
No.
No.
Are there officials there? Is there chip timing?
No.
It all sounds like the Red Hook Crit to me.
Are there any? In Philadelphia, there were chips. But they were poker chips.
That's true. Cleveland, we're pulling for you.
Didn't they not get it again? So isn't this like 4 years in a row now?
Yeah, next year it's going to Portland.
Really, Portland?
Yeah.
Oh, back where it started? Or was it California did it start? Who knows?
I think it started in Portland.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm wrong.
Not my history of the single speed cyclocross world champ. I have to keep looking into my head or I'm going to get the Adam Craig is going to come out.
Well, you now have a single speed cross bike.
I do have a single speed.
You now need
bike.
To start paying attention.
I know,
this is your event more than anything else.
It is, but so far my single speed cross bike has taken me to the post office and back.
Which is a bigger deal, the single speed world championships or the national championship for the U.S. for single speed category?
Ooh, I like that question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Which race has had bigger names in it, bigger elite names in it?
Single speed cyclocross world championships.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like whom?
Well, I mean, I think Adam Craig is a pretty, you know, legitimate winner.
So why isn't he racing in nationals? Why does he go race the elite race in, you know,
Dude, because it's ski season, man.
Yeah, he's in the mountains.
Ski season. Come on.
He knows better.
He was in Madison.
He might pop up in Asheville.
Yeah.
I mean, based on what I've seen for the pre-regs in Asheville, like, no one is going. Everyone says they're going, but based on pre-reg, no one is going. So, we'll see.
You know those elite riders. They don't sign up until the last minute.
Last minute. Yep.
This is true.
Can't day of, though, for Nationals, so. Love to be there beforehand.
One trend I did notice from the pictures from Single Speed World Champs was a lot of flat bar cross bikes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there should be
wide bars.
I mean, then you're getting into the mountain bike single speed.
Oh, they were up in like what, you know, Canada. There, it's probably all a bunch of, you know, mountain bikers that played single speed crosser for the day.
Are there any track bikes allowed?
Ooh,
I think you could probably race whatever the hell you want.
Pretty sure they'll make you do the back pedal rule in order to check.
Is that a thing in the single speed race?
At least around here it is, right? I mean,
I've never seen
officially
that.
In the USA Cycling, they're supposed to be able to make you backpedal to make you check that you're
I've
never
seen that.
Really? Anything else to add for single speed cyclocross world championships?
It's going to be far away again. I don't think any of us are going next year.
Three time zones is way too far.
Yeah.
Come on, Cleveland. We're pulling for you.
You need to stage
a coup. We'll go to Cleveland.
Stage a coup.
We will all go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
If that happens, we'll go. It should be
like the Judean People's Front, the People's Front of Judea. It should be like single speed cross worlds, but then cross worlds of the single speed. Like they should basically do another race and just kind of
co-opt it.
Yeah, just Cleveland should start their own.
All right, based on what you know right now today, who's winning the men's national championship in the U.S.?
For single speed?
Yes,
Can I say Craig Etheridge? Is that allowed?
I don't know. It depends if those fake single speeders.
Oh, right, yeah.
Up.
If the pro show.
There's rules against that this year, right?
Yeah, no fake single speeders. Because I want a crack at it, fair and square. No fake single speeders in the single speed race. All right.
Men's Open national champion.
I'll jump in there first.
All right.
Stephen Hyde.
Okay.
I'll go on the record with that.
It's not too far of a stretch.
I mean, I like that one, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of another good option.
I mean, obviously Jeremy Powers is a good option, but I mean, I'll say Jeremy Powers. Why not?
Jonathan Page, bringing up the talent.
Whoa.
Wow. Ooh, that's a, okay.
Is that sort of, is he on record as saying this is not his last season, although he's sort of probably working his way towards his last season.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, has he been in Europe at all this year, or is he going,
no.
or he's just
no,
done?
Strictly no, strictly America. More, has no anyone actually years. Seen any of his results?
Well, he was at L.A.
He was at the two out in Seattle as well.
He was in that Steadicam video, so he was at the front end of L.A.
How about an American who won a UCI race this past weekend? See, you can't even think of who it is.
I can't.
There was a UCI race this past weekend?
Yeah, not in this country. Zach McDonald.
Oh, right. He won the Nobiyama, the Rafa Cross.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was 31st on the first day and then finished first on the second day.
Yep.
I thought Robert Marion might have found a C2 over there to win.
He did. Didn't he win that local race a couple weeks ago?
He did. Yeah, like in Holland or somewhere.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Which was awesome seeing him on the Belgian feeds of all those videos,
right.
Seeing him like come up and you're like, oh, there he is.
You know, there's just too many North American beards now at this.
Hey, let's not get too far away. Who's your pick, Bill?
My pick is Powers, but I think that guys like Summerhill have to, if he, you know, shows up and is in shape.
I hope he shows.
And I don't think you can discount somebody like Logan Owen.
Yeah.
Who is he's out of the U23 now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's racing, no, he's racing U23
well,
in Europe.
Yeah, let's say he's racing
U23.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah.
So.
But he raced the elite race in Louisville. So can he go back and forth on that? I mean, I forget sort of how
Louisville
that works.
Just for the UCI race.
Just for the
UCI.
Like
I think
a
if there's not,
ago.
I think he can do that if there's not another race available.
Okay.
I think.
Well, no, that I think in Louisville that they had a U23 race. Or was it the Pan Americans that there was a U23 race, and he still did the pro race. He still did the open race, I think.
Okay.
Right, my thinking, I'm getting my stuff mixed up.
I think that's right.
Because I remember there's something on Twitter about people asking him why, you know, is he racing the U23 race? He's like, no, I'm racing the open race when he could have raced the U23 race. I don't know.
Because Drew Dillman won. Curtis White was
second. Yes, he didn't do the U23 race. He did the open race. So I wasn't sure if that was.
Yeah, it's sort of strange that then he's going back to the World Cups and doing the U23s. But.
Well, the competition is a little stiffer over there.
No, I know. I just don't know what the rules are.
Right.
You can't take a bottle. That's a rule I know.
Last time I saw Kevin Pauls. How do you pronounce his name?
Powell's.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not Belgian.
Think of it like the bookstore in Portland.
Last time he was riding a bottle, he actually had his bottle on the down tube and not the C tube. And I just never see anyone when they're riding cross.
It's because he's left-handed.
He also does the dirty side of his dismount. So it's sort of like he's doing a bunch of things you're not supposed to do.
Somehow that makes it okay.
Okay, well, that makes sense then, I guess.
I think it's good, though. I'm glad those guys are carrying bottles. It'll make it less taboo. And it'll just be part of the sport.
Yeah.
Like disc brakes.
What about, can you use a camelback? Is that allowed?
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could. Probably not. No, I don't see why you couldn't.
I mean, it would seem to me that...
If you could handle the ridicule, I think you might be able to make it
well,
through.
Yeah, but I mean, what if your kit manufacturer made like a... Camelback
bladder pocket in
your
skin.
I mean,
right?
You can do it on a time trial bike when you put the bladder on your stomach. I know that much. That is against the rules.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. So they have, but they can do it on their back.
I think, but I remember that was the issue. They all had the bladder on their stomachs.
Is that like Garmin?
Well, your bladder is kind of below your stomach.
Well, it got in the way of the ice socks,
and the squirrel wings on their skin suits.
All right, so
off topic.
Yeah, no, there are no off topics. Let's not. Let's
not
go there.
I was like, we went from.
Why are you judging us?
We went from Kevin Powell's dismounts to, you know, ice socks in one move.
I was about to make a Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball joke. That's off. That would have been off topic.
That will resonate with a very small audience.
What team are they affiliated with?
It's confusing because I thought they were with. Because the Richmond Braves used to be part of the Atlanta Braves organization, but they moved them to Gwinnett. So I don't even know.
Because they wouldn't build them
a stadium.
Play ball.
Oh, okay. It might be the Cincinnati Reds, or it's someone not close. It's someone, I think, further, you know. It's not, or maybe it's the San Francisco Giants or something. It's nobody that's, like, close by. So.
And are there uniforms that actually have, like, Rocky and Bullwinkle themed?
No, I mean, there is a flying squirrel on it, but it doesn't look like Rocky or Bullwinkle.
Okay. I like that the guy from Richmond is asking.
Well, they were the
questions
they,
about
they,
this.
They I mean, were, I like throw ball of all kinds, so it's kind of a well known.
They were the Richmond Braves when
they
I
were the
lived
Richmond Braves,
when
yeah.
I lived there.
Yeah. Then they moved to Gwinnett County. Okay.
You're correct. They are affiliated with the San Francisco Giants.
It was either the Reds or the Giants. I knew it was one of the two. It's a long flight.
That is a bit of a travel.
So, Bill, what's your take on the new stadium that they're, in theory, going to build in Richmond for them that's apparently very divisive and controversial?
I have no idea.
It's going to, like, destroy all the historic buildings in Chaco Bottom.
Well, like what? Like
so
the,
if you
like
went to Road
flood,
World.
Like a flood zone. Wow,
that's true.
Good take.
Hey, as long as no one forgets to close the doors on the flood wall, they'll be fine.
All right, so let's talk about
how about the women's nationals. We talked about the men's.
Oh, you're
we
right.
Talk
let's
about
do
the
that.
Nationals.
Okay, well that's an interesting one.
Right.
All right, Kevin Hayes, who's winning nationals? This is the early predictions for nationals. How many months away are we? Where you are 1 month away from nationals, 5 weeks.
Well, there's a lot of really good young women right now, and. But they're still going to get their own U23 Nationals, right? So they can't...
That's a good call, too. So this will be the first year of the U23 women.
So El Noble and Emma White will both be in that race.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, which I think that's the race to actually be watching. No matter what happens, like at the, you know, where they are in the race, those two going at it. I mean, did you see them at the beginning of the race in Belgium this weekend?
That was awesome.
That was awesome. They were both at the front.
They got the whole shot. And I was like, who's in the... Because they weren't wearing their trade team skin suits. They were wearing the USA Cycling skin suits. And I was a little confused at first. And I was like, oh, holy shit. Like, they're two kid folks in college, like, just taking it to them. It was
great. Who were, battling it out, you know, a couple weeks before that, what was it? CSI.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
And it was tactically smart. Not that I wouldn't think they would be, but it was super tactically smart because that course is like, it literally bottlenecks right after you go onto the,
yeah,
off
so
the
it's,
pavement.
It's,
right where Emma White foot downed.
Well, that, yes. But it was awesome.
So this was Hama, right?
Yes, this was Hama this past weekend.
That being said, Katie Compton's going to take the U.S.
So Katie Compton?
Yes.
Number 12? Is that 12? 12 in a row? Or not in a row, but 12.
I think it would be number 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot.
I Yeah, I guess I'm going to go with Compton as well. I'm not sure I have a pick outside of that, unfortunately.
So what's the course going to be like, Taylor?
Inside Intel.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, Inside Intel.
Biltmore.
It goes through the Biltmore, right? Up the stairs?
Yeah, they do two laps around the Christmas tree in the lobby. Yeah, and then you rappel out the window. But don't disturb the goats.
That's a single-speed cyclocross world championship, Biltmore.
Yeah, 2016 exactly. Goats equals 2015 trees, right?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, from what I have been told from the folks that I know down in North Carolina, the you know, they've had 2 years of test events at the venue, and you know, I mean there's a lot of grass, so I think depending on what the weather conditions are, that'll play a big role. I mean, if there's a lot of rain, could be a real slog fest, but otherwise I think it has the potential to be, you know, a fitness course more than like a technical course. The weather mid or early January in Asheville shouldn't be too bad. It should be pretty decent.
What is the best place to eat?
I man, don't ask me. Asheville's changed a lot. So
see, it's like the flying squirrels. This is like the flying squirrels question for you.
All that's right, true.
Who's gonna win the women's?
I'll say Katie Antineau.
That was a good choice. That was definitely.
She's been having a really good season, so doing really well over in Europe as well.
Did she not race in Coxside for some reason that I couldn't figure out? Does anyone know about that? Because she did not do that. She, you know, she's sitting.
Yeah, I didn't see her.
I thought the only American that raced Coxside was Robert Marion.
Well, no, Katie Compton raced it.
Katie Compton, okay, that's right.
Yeah, no, Katie Compton. I mean,
well, no, Logan Owen, Curtis White.
Okay, forget it. Don't listen.
He was the only elite male.
Elite male.
He was the only elite male.
Okay,
but no, I was looking. I was curious why. You know, I figured she's sitting third overall. She got second at Valkenburg, right? So she's sitting third overall, but she didn't show up to the race. I don't know. I didn't hear anything, but I'm hoping she's okay. I was hoping it wasn't like she's injured or sick or because it's
been
or maybe security concerns.
Is she still in school?
No, she's not. Okay. She's been out of school.
Okay. Well, that was definitely somebody I put up there. You know, you got Meredith Miller. You got Elle Anderson, who's going to be peaking about that time, which definitely that she'll be an interesting one.
I definitely
to watch.
Forgot about Elle Anderson.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
But you know, I don't think you can pick against Compton, so. I'll go there for now. I'm going to go with the easy ones, Compton and Powers.
Yeah. You're going chalk, as they say in the basketball world.
I like to be contrarian, so.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Not surprising. Oh, Rosetta's. That's where you want to eat in Asheville.
Rosetta's?
Yeah, it's like the kind of
vegan. Did you just yelp that?
I mean, it's a place I've been to before, but I was going to call it Roses, and I knew it wasn't right because there's a Roses in D.C. that's very, very popular right now. So I was like, it's not Roses, it's something like that. So I looked it up. It's Rosetta's.
I may be hosting an event on Friday. Of nationals.
Sweet.
I'm not sure I'm
at Rosetta's. No,
just in general. So
it's gonna be
TBD. Or TBA or something. TB something. but let's talk about Coxida. How about the men's race?
That's probably the best that race was, this year so far. Yeah, so
excited about this race.
Yes, that was great. That was really good.
No, I mean, that was probably one of the most exciting races that I've seen in, I mean, this year for sure. And in my mind, since World Championships, that was a really, really great race. I mean, the first race of the season with the current world champ.
Yep. It's good to see him in there.
It was great to see him there. Despite the fact that his helmet is an abomination.
Is that just burned?
It's just there, matches bike.
Yeah.
Is it Bell? Is that Bell's like aero helmet?
Yeah,
because I like a lot of their helmets otherwise, but that is not just the design on it, but the design of the helmet looks awful.
It's
no offense awful. To Bell Sports or whatever. But.
Well, the rainbow
potential sponsor,
the rainbow camo, just to start with, is
well, that's that right? I mean, you saw the design.
It is true that on the fork it's okay. It's not as
The bike doesn't look that bad.
The bike doesn't look that bad. It looks. Like a Pegarotti.
Yeah.
Better than the paint job he had before he won. the sniper.
The
paint
sniper,
job,
the crosshairs.
I was not a
the
fan.
Crosshairs
of.
Bike.
Crosshairs bike. Yeah.
now you're gonna make me sound bad for saying I don't like it when you put it that way.
We have a bigger problem with like shooting deaths in this country than they do in Europe. So in some ways, I think we're a little more. I'm personally probably a little more sensitive to it. So.
Yeah. No. That was. Man, I mean, some of the stuff that he was riding.
Well, that was the
thing. Yeah, he was making it up that one run-up.
Well,
like,
that was the thing.
At least one lap.
You start the race, and you have this whole build-up to this race where, you know, Van Aert is just unstoppable and winning and seemingly has this stamina that will never end. I mean, he's been peaking now since September and still winning. Did lose the day before to Sven, but, you know, it's the day before a World Cup, so you never know what effort everyone is putting into that race coming into it. And then Vanderpool shows up and just makes a statement from the gun.
Yeah,
and
like
is just
shot out of a cannon. Yeah.
I'm back. And,
did he race the day before? I don't think he raced Kama.
No.
I actually thought that race was pretty exciting, too.
Not the
whole weekend of Sven.
Not Hama.
The Sudal.
The Flandrian.
Hasselt.
Hasselt.
Wrong H race.
Yeah. So
no, that was, yeah.
Yeah, so Vanderpool's out there out front, and Van Aert's like, you may not have been around here for a while. Things have changed. I'm now the guy. And
the other thing that impressed me was, I mean, Laurent Sweek never ceases to amaze me every race. He has the exact same tactic, which is go as hard as possible on the front for as long as possible, and it always nets him like a top 10 finish.
He's the Ryan Trebon of the international scene.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Much shorter. His helmet is also terrible.
Right. It's pretty
terrible.
Bad.
If we're talking about helmets,
they still, that whole era team. It still just confuses me when I see them out there. I'm like, oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. It's confusing, but,
yeah,
no, that was an awesome race.
Yeah, so you get out there, Van Aert then goes back, takes control. Sven, who sort of has gotten everybody's hopes up for many races, being able to hang in there in that front group, looking okay, but then hasn't been able to stay with the leaders when it came down to crunch times there the whole time. And then you get this Van Aert versus Sven for at least one lap, about a lap and a half, just mano a mano without, you know, Jan de Nulawara getting in the way this time. And yeah, just classic. And it's not even the sand. That was the thing this year about Coxside. It wasn't even the sand that was the factor. It was more the mud.
Yeah.
And that's where the race was made. So usually Coxside is you go through that dune, you run through that, and then it's just sort of zipping around in the sand and the asphalt. And this definitely, there was this different component to the race.
Well, and I think what made it exciting for me was watching Sven got a little bit of his kind of, he clearly got some of the swagger back the day before, and so he went in confident.
Did he find his groove?
I guess so, yeah.
Did he get it back?
I'm picturing his face on like Angela Bassett's body right now, like on her, which is a very funny image to think about. But no, like
Kevin
made...
is confused. He has no idea what you're
it's
talking
fine.
About.
It's fine.
Nope.
Check out IMDb, Angela Bassett. Look up. Anyway.
How Sven got his groove back.
His groove back. That's a t-shirt just needs to be made. No, just like he, you know, I forget what lap it was where he passed Van Aert before the sand, right before his like huge corner with his supporter section. You knew he did that. He did that so that Van Aert would have to hear that wall of sound as he hit that section. It's like, that's the kind of move that like a world champion makes. Like, that's the kind of thing they do. And I mean, I don't know. I guess I can't get in his head to know if that's exactly what he was thinking, but it felt like that was very intentional. You know,
I don't think that he does anything that isn't calculated.
Right.
You know, for better or for worse. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but yeah, everything's pretty calculated.
The other thing that impressed me was, you know, the classic start line shot of what tires everybody's
right.
using.
Yeah.
So we talked about, sure, there's sand, like there always is at Coxside, but there was a lot of mud this year, like long sections of mud. And all the top guys, they're still on file treads.
Oh, really?
Or as they said in the post-race interview, sand tires.
And they're not even, you know, we think of file treads. What we consider file treads sometimes are you know, like mountain bike tires for these things. Like the Pipistrello.
The Pipistrello is
like a road tire.
You are not racing the Pipistrello in the Mid-Atlantic.
There are no side knobs. Nothing. Just tiny little pimples all over.
Like that's what those guys are running. That to me was really impressive.
Yeah.
Talking about gear, that must be a course that completely destroys a bicycle. You mean, do they get a new chain automatically, like every lap? Like, is that part of like the pitting?
No. You figure it has to, at the end of that race, though. You figure they're just like
they throw it away.
So, yeah. clip,
everything's gone. Cassette and chain is gone. Right.
But you know, there weren't. If you watched, bike changes were not as frequent as I thought they would have been.
Mm. Well, it didn't seem like the mud was to the point that it was more that peanut buttery slick mud. It wasn't really thick and getting in, cogging up everybody's works. And then, you know, Vanderpoel didn't have an issue because he's running disc brakes. So.
Because they're never problematic in the mud.
No, they clean out. You have that clearance. You have they're self clearance. Yeah. Right.
You learned this on your one ride to the post office?
I'm a convert.
And tubeless. Jesus.
5 miles, and that's all it takes. He'll be selling you everything next.
5 miles.
A mile and a half.
Okay.
Cross isn't about braking, right?
That's right. Just slows you down.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, so did we do the men's race?
I guess so. I mean, I'm curious what y'all's sort of thought was on the sort of that winning move and sort of what did Wout make a miscalculation on where to, like, what was the, I don't know. I'm curious about y'all's verdict on that, sort of that winning move and kind of what happened there, what's the analysis?
Meaning him going ahead on that sand section, or
no, that
or
literally that
mud.
No, that last that, bit of
that,
mud,
that mud
sort of,
drag.
They both, you know, they both chose
they
different
both,
lines.
Yeah, they both picked a side,
right?
And you know,
it was just
they
all out sprint, just all out power.
And they both cut in, and it seemed like Wout didn't really cut in. And I don't know. Yeah, it was hard to tell if it was like he just didn't have the power, or there was a technical.
I think it was a classic case of OMP.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if there is one place that Sven is always. Yep. Going to be better. It's in it just straight out. Let's see who can put out more watts here, and that's what
it
was.
Because
just,
which race was it that had? I mean, I think you even highlighted it where it had the little power section, the little uphill that he would catch everyone on.
Right.
Was that Zonhoven maybe, or no, not Zonhoven.
Well, it was. Shit, but anyway, was even Zonhoven where he was. That was the one where he knocked Powell's glasses off, where he's riding that sand dune,
right.
And you know everybody else is running it. Right. Yeah, I mean that's where the guy is still going to excel. I mean that has not gone away yet.
The thing that also struck me from that move was, if you had that situation in a race in the U.S., you'd have somebody would be one of those two people would be irate.
Yeah,
by getting. Chopped
it, right.
This guy chopped my wheel, this guy cut me off, but there it's like, yep, I mean that's racing. There's one line to exit that section,
yeah,
and Sven got there first,
right. Yep. Yeah,
that's so true.
Yeah, there never seemed to be any hurt feel. The only time
Denualare
right,
but yeah, the only time you see those guys yelling at each other is if, you know, they run into the back of them because they screwed up in front. That's
right.
Like that's the only real time.
The classic Tom Mason broken chain setup.
Oh yeah, just destroys the field.
Oh, what race? That was what, two races.
It was the weekend before.
Right.
So
that was good. Yeah, you know, two pedal strokes in, snap your chain, and then just sit up, and then all the guys that are sprinting behind crash right into you. That was impressive though, because in that race, you know, he kept going. Julian Taramarca also went down. He kept going, and he ended up like 15th.
Yeah, that was hard. That was impressive.
Yeah.
The day before the World Cup, too, at Hasselt. Hasselt, sorry. Gosh. Sven accidentally brake checked Kevin, and he actually gave him this nice little wave like, hey, sorry, dude. I just brake checked you.
No one wants to make Kevin angry. He's such a nice lad, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's Klaus. That's the guy that Sven doesn't mind taking out any.
Oh, I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone seems. No one seems to like him. I don't know.
But he's not. He's not at many of the races this year.
No, he's still trying to figure out his blood issue. So
maybe he should just resort to baby food.
may be the answer. Women's race. Coxida. Sana Kant.
Nikki Harris and Compton. I think I had that. I think I tweeted that you that I had that right.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
So
that was really good.
Humble brag there.
Not... What's interesting, not about Sana Kant winning again, but it, what sort of had occurred right after that race when, you know, she's definitely winning everything, definitely coming into this, you know, throughout the season as the perennial favorite, but she was sort of like that last season as well. And then Pauline Ferrand-Prevot showed up, and Eva Lechner came back, and,
Katarina Nash,
that's the name I'm blanking on, all sort of show up late season, fresh, she's waning in form, and then is disappointed in the world championship. So, Ferrand-Prevot goes down in a training accident, screws up her knee,
right.
Is out for the world championship, Mariana Voss, out for the whole year. Do we just hand the rainbow stripes to Sana Kant at this point?
I mean, I think Eva Lechner is having a good season. I mean, she's, you know, overall leader in the World Cup. So
I think she's not now. Is she? She's still now, or I think after
maybe
Coxide,
after Coxide, she's not. But she was racing the leader jersey in Coxide.
Well,
so.
And she said she doesn't really even like that race that much, but she felt like she had to show up to like show off the jersey. So I think she's burning the candle too. I think she went through a full mountain bike season. I don't think she's gonna be able to hang on for Worlds unless she takes a big break, or I don't know. That's
valid.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching Nikki Harris race.
Yeah.
If she can keep her bike upright for the entire race, like, I think she could do it.
Well, Worlds are in Zolder, right?
Yeah, I'd
be curious to see about Sana Kant's record in Zolder. Because it seems like that's a hard course. It's a really hard course, and it seems like it's a course you either do people like or they really dislike.
I can tell you who won last year was Mariana Voss with Pauline Ferrand-Prevot behind her.
Yeah.
So...
Who was third, does it say?
Y'all can talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. I would like to see Kant. I don't know. I'd like to see Kant win. But, you know, what I'd like to see is different than what might happen.
Well, Kant definitely was up there. Oh, wait. If I just scroll down. it was Voss. Well, it was actually Voss, Nash, and then PFP was third.
Okay.
Kant was seventh.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
For her.
Minute 50 down.
He's...
Sabrina Stoltein, Eva Lechner, Ellen Van Looy, all up there as well.
I mean, I think it's really a matter of how.
She had issues in that race, so bike wise. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I think it's an issue of how the riders plan their season out too, in terms of when they take a break. I mean, you see, like, you look online, you look on Instagram, whatever. All the like the whole Vascade Service Golden Palace team is like. In, you know,
Mallorca?
No, I think they're in Spain.
Oh,
they're in Calpe. It's like they're training, so it's like
they all got there very fast. I mean,
dude, they were there like they must have left like that night.
Well, there's a tunnel that goes straight from Belgium
right to southern Spain.
To southern Spain.
Yeah.
It's really deep. It's a deep tunnel.
But, you know, so you wonder you know, what about some of the folks who don't take that break or don't have that luxury. I mean, like, I don't know, a lot of the women's teams probably don't have that have the budget to do that kind of thing. So are they taking like a 2-week break to go get in a big training block somewhere warm?
No, they're taking a 2-week break to go back to work for 2 weeks.
Yeah, like,
unfortunately.
I mean, they're sat on their trainer.
Right.
But
right.
That was the crazy thing. Like, Ellen Van Looy came to the US to train with the men, and that seemed like such an oddity.
Yeah.
You know, sadly that happened.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's I think that is a kind of a wild card that, you know, some of the women have the, you know, may have the luxury of being able to go somewhere and do that. Others don't, because either individually or through their team, they just don't have the resources.
So what about somebody like Compton too, coming back now? Is this sort of Katie Compton's last best chance? She said in the beginning of the year that she was, you know, knew that she was starting slow and was ramping up towards the end of the year, as opposed to years past, where I think where she first went over and with a goal to win World Cups from day one, and definitely showed it in the U.S. that she's starting to ramp up and win races where she did not look good in the beginning of the season. So is this the year? Is she going to be able to be up there with Kant at Zolder? I can tell you last year she didn't finish the race.
But I forgot your interview with her earlier this year. Did she? I forgot whether she said she liked Zolder or hated Zolder.
Oh, man, I can't remember.
Yeah. I could have sworn she talked about it in that interview, but maybe I'm wrong. I
just hope she's healthy.
Like, yeah.
Because yeah. That's always a bummer when she has to drop out because of, you know, those issues. So.
Right. Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think the weather could also be a wild card, too, because we've seen in the past races at Zolder in the snow. If you have that, I mean, that plays to the strengths of a very different type of rider.
Right.
So is it going to be just cold and dry? Is it going to be snowy?
I mean, you could if it's snowy and it's cold and icy, you could see Nash just showing up on good fitness and walking away with it.
Definitely.
Which would, you know, it's unfortunate she would win the year after of her home country, but still. I mean,
yeah, although, well, where it was snowy and icy and whatever tires that Czech team was handing out.
Oh, right, yeah.
Those were not working very well. No,
they learned the lesson on that one, but.
That was from juniors on up. It was Keystone Cops in the Czech quarter. All right, well, got that one solved. Yeah. What else did I have on my list? Oh, coming up later this year, we're getting these announcements about who's coming back and racing. So we have Lars Boom, who is going to race Skettelcross on December 19th, and then Azencross on December 29th. And then Stibar made an announcement that he's not racing any World Cups, not racing the World Championships, still deciding, because he's, you know, all in for the classics, but still deciding what he's going to do for just regular cross races, show up for some of these races. On that schedule that he's put out there tentatively, Azencross also on there. So we could have two former World Champions line up together with Lars and Stibar.
I do love that Lars Boom said not only was he doing those two races, but he was hoping and planning on being selected for the subsequent World Cups.
Nice.
That's pretty bold.
Well, I'm hoping he doesn't get selected for those, and then he has to sell all his tires. And
he cornered the market.
I know, right. Prices say, went up.
What did he say? He bought like 40 pairs.
Yeah.
Of 32 millimeter tires, though.
That was a crazy thing, too.
That's all that's left.
Yeah, right. You go on QBP, it's all you're getting.
Man, when you order your tires in like November, I mean, come on.
And the funny thing was, you know, people on Twitter going, well, why does he have to buy tires? Won't they give him tires? I'm like, not Dugas, man.
Not Dugas, yeah.
No way. Everybody buys their tires.
No way.
No sponsorships there.
No, that would be awesome to see the two of them
on
the same course.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Boy, can you imagine that if he does get selected? That's Vanderpool, Vanderhaar, and Boom all.
That would be amazing.
Giving the Belgians a run for their
money. Yeah, I mean that's great to go back to Kokkside. Like that was crazy. The Belgian selection was just insane.
Oh, yeah, because
like 15 guys.
Yeah, because with that whole top 50 thing,
it's just nuts.
Just anybody. Yeah, anybody in the top 50 can go. They have. Yeah.
I would sort of feel bad for. I mean. Not too bad for him, but I feel a little bit bad for Lars Vanderhaar at that point, where you line up for Worlds and you have two world champions in front of you, despite the fact that, you know, you won a European championship and, you know, you've won World Cups, won an overall. I mean, I'm not saying they should work for him. I'm just saying it's sort of like...
What do you really think the dynamic is there, though?
Does Boom still really have it? I mean, when was the last time he raced a cross race? I mean, it's been a while.
That's a good question.
It's been a while. I'm not discounting the guy.
I don't think he raced last year.
I don't remember him racing last year.
It's on cross results, I'm sure.
CX stats.
Or CX stats.
I can translate for you.
Yeah. Is it Boom, comma Lars? Is that how they do it there, the last name? For
all right. Well, here's something to sort of gnaw on in what you just said, Elliot. The last two winners of Zolder,
Lars
Vanderhaar. 2014, Lars Vanderhaar.
Right.
His type of course.
Yeah.
It's his type of course. It's Valkenburg-esque. You know, there's definitely a little mountain bike type feel to it. So
how about this? If Stibar shows up, smashes these races, does he change his mind? To me, he seems like the kind of guy that if he gets out there, has a good result, has fun, and he tells the Czech Federation, hey, I want to race World Cups, right. Do you think they're going to tell him no?
But I don't think it's up to them.
You think it's up to Quickstep?
His trade team will say no.
I mean, it's Cavendish. Can I go race on the track? No.
Yeah.
So
that's valid.
And
the guy only has so many teeth.
Yeah. Well, and I think he, you know,
he can just take him out now.
The window, I mean, I think the window, and again, I'm not that I'm a, you know, expert in this, but I think the window on sort of what's the window on winning Paris-Roubaix, and he's, you know, he's gotten close now with some of those, but like.
But here's my question for you, Kevin. Is he even the team leader? I mean, isn't that the whole thing? Like, he's always, I'm going to be in for the classics, and then he shows, and then it's like Terpstra. It's all these other. Is he even the guy in these
classics?
See,
I don't think they ever go in with a team leader in those races. They're shooting off shots one after the next. Okay. So I think everyone likes the idea of him being the team leader, but I don't think he's ever been officially named the team leader in any of these races.
I mean, I think there's a team leader in that, like, Bonin is like, oh, everyone wants to win things.
Yeah, if
but,
you're
like,
in
he's
Belgium.
Not literally the team leader. He's, like, the emotional sort of, like, he's a sweetheart.
And that was the thing, I think, wasn't that the frustrating thing for Stibar last year, is that Bonin started looking good at the beginning of these races, and all of a sudden he's just sort of got to hang out because he can't do anything? I mean, I guess maybe if, yeah, who knows if Bonin's going to be back in time.
He didn't race the cross race. he looked really good on the beach, though.
He's saving it up for Zolder.
Why didn't Stibar and Boom race to Flandrian cross the
ex-world
champion? You have to be retired.
Well, they're not. They're
I
not,
have a feeling you had to repeat your
be Belgian.
One, yeah. Or you might have to weigh more than a certain amount.
Jesus.
You must be this tall to ride. Must be this heavy to ride.
This wide.
This wide, yeah.
Good thing this isn't translated into Dutch.
Hey, look, I mean.
The camera doesn't lie.
Were they riding wider tires?
No, I think it adds 10 pounds.
Maybe 20.
Kilos?
All right, so.
No, that's good. That'll be a good matchup.
Yeah, so the head-to-head between those guys, you know, I don't know if it's funny or not. The thing that may happen, or probably will and should happen, is that you're going to get Van Aert and Vanderpool, who are just going to smoke both of them
right.
Like two laps in. Although, yeah. Although Stibar, at least, the thing that I've always loved about him when he enters these cyclocross races, especially now when he's already training and has all this base in there, is that he just, there's none of this let's regroup and look around and see what we're going to do next lap. It's just like, I'm going to put my head down and go as hard as I can. And if you guys can keep up, that's up to you.
Yeah. Watching him maybe go head to head against Vanderpool and Van Aert would be kind of, I think, an impressive thing. Because neither of those guys really like to stick around too long.
You know, and Sven still says he's the most talented cyclocross racer he's ever raced against.
Oh, okay.
That world championship race between Sven and Stibar, probably the best race. I mean, my favorite race of all time, I think.
That was a good one. He was the first guy you ever saw fluster Sven, where he had to go harder than he wanted to and harder that he was capable of and was making mistakes because of it. See what else is on the list. We may have to get to some music choices here soon. 54 minutes in.
We're not gonna talk about whether we need a USGP. Sorry. I had to troll just like half a second. I'll say this much. It is, in some ways, I think it makes it more difficult to talk about. We talked about sort of predictions for nationals, but in some ways it's hard to talk about domestic US cross in a sort of like, you know, it's hard to pontificate. And I'm not referencing the hip-hop album. It's hard to pontificate.
Well, we're going to get to that. Don't worry. That's coming later.
It's kind of hard to talk about domestic cross in a way without having these sort of like these benchmark races to kind of... And I guess that's maybe what Louisville is but, you know.
As I have already said, I'll take the contrarian point of view. Not to say that we necessarily need USGP, but I think that one benefit of there not being a national series is you end up with pretty strong regional scenes.
That's true.
In the US, which I think is good in general for the sport. I mean, is it great for the pros who are being paid? Maybe not.
Right.
But for the 1,000 other people or 600 other people who are at the race that day, I think it's better for them.
No, you're right.
Because it forces the promoters to have higher quality events, even if they're not a UCI sanctioned race.
Right.
So who's currently leading right now?
I was gonna quiz you all.
CX.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna. So that this is going to Elliot's point, and
I think I know.
Okay, who's leading?
The last time I looked at it, which may have been before this past weekend.
Yep.
I think it was like Powers led Hyde by like 2 points or something, 4 points.
I kind of thought maybe Hyde was leading.
I thought it was Powers too, still.
Hyde is leading.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Yes. Here's.
But it's close, right? Or was.
It's 9 points.
Okay.
You know, and going to your point, Taylor, you have Cameron Dodge in fourth.
Right.
Right.
And he's not traveling, as no. we know.
He's not leaving the Mid-Atlantic.
He's not leading. Yeah. He's so.
Or East Coast.
Or East Coast, certainly, yeah. Who's so, leading the women?
Well, this is going to be the next question for you all. That one was a little easier because it was really down to two guys. Who's winning?
Is it Courtney McFadden?
Oh, that's a good guess.
I think she was.
That's a good guess.
Taylor?
I was going to say Crystal Anthony. No, probably not Crystal Anthony because she hasn't done that many races in the U.S. Ellen Noble?
Kevin?
I don't know.
Throw a name out there.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with McFadden. She's been traveling a lot.
Carolyn Money.
Carolyn Money, yeah.
Ooh, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Who hasn't raced on the East
and
Coast?
And who has a decent lead. 663, Crystal Anthony, second, 557, Amanda Miller.
Oh, Amanda Miller. That
third,
was another one.
Thing. Yeah, 540, Compton, Antino are the top five.
So I think...
Well, my point wasn't that there should be one. It's just it's hard to... There shouldn't be a series just so we can talk about it. I don't think that. I'm just saying it is sort of harder to... gauge what's going on without having those sort of hallmark events in a way.
True.
Well, when you look at the people leading these right now, everyone, both people that are leading these, both the men and women, both are well-deserved leaders of these. Looking at this, I mean, you all, it's not like that it's just someone that's traveling around just gathering up points. No, I mean, true. These are some of the strongest riders in the scene right now.
It's also what you can make of the series what you want to as a racer, because I think Bill, I think this is something that you and Steven talked about in your interview with him, which was like, it's like a $20,000 purse for winning it.
Right.
So
right.
It's not nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
so, I mean, if you want to chase it, I mean, you can come out ahead.
Right.
But, I mean, as we all know, U.S. is a pretty big place.
Yeah.
So you could also easily spend $20,000 trying to win it.
Right.
Based on where you live and how much you have to travel.
Right.
Right. And you know, much like Jamie Driscoll did last year, Carol Mani, you know, she's getting second places and third places, but she's there every week.
Every week.
So Hyde, you know, held on to his lead without even racing because, you know, Powers didn't race either. So yeah, it's interesting. It really is if you show up every week, you got a much better and get results, you got a much better chance at taking that top prize, which is a nice prize.
But which to me, that really lends itself to the people that are on factory teams, people that can fly in and out.
Right.
Their stuff gets, you know, Carol Manie doesn't pack her bikes to take with. Riley Clement takes them and she shows up and she races, which is fine. I have no problem with that, but I don't think it necessarily equalizes any. I don't think having the Pro CX calendar versus GP equalizes a like privateer versus like a.
No,
so
not
so
at
does
all.
That make Cam Dodge in third place more impressive?
It does.
Because he's driving everywhere and sleeping in his Eurovan.
I think it says something about the strength of sort of mid-Atlantic to New England sort of cross rate, that there's that many UCI races you can get.
Well, that's the thing. Is that
how strong
schedule?
He is, but also
well,
the
so
schedule
that was,
helps
that was my point. Was
if he lived in California, he'd be screwed.
Right.
Well, he'd be like Gavin Haley coming out from California for Charm City.
Right.
Well, who wouldn't do that? It's Charm City, after all.
Yeah.
No, I love Charm City, but I'm just saying that's a long trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and I don't think he would have done it, but he had family in Baltimore that he could stay with.
Right.
You know, so if you're just on your own, are you going to go clear across the country looking for points? I mean, hey, there were plenty of guys there who were doing that.
Right.
But that's a minority.
Right.
I guess so really it comes down to, Elliot, I think what you were saying before, it's maybe it doesn't have as much bearing on the riders as it does on all of us who follow cyclocross, I think, pretty darn closely.
Yeah.
You know, closer than most people, yet we had to guess who was the leader of the Pro
series,
CX.
Right.
Yeah, for both the men and the women. And on the other hand, it does affect the riders then, because that's a much easier sell to sponsors that you have that consolidated 8-race series or whatever it's going to be, and that's, you know, that is something that people can concentrate on and watch. But again, the third hand of that is, like, it really does only affect these top guys. And then it also, as you know, I've talked about with many other people, it also, you know, affects promoters of races, and then you need to somehow bring all these races under the same umbrella, have them all run the same way, or even run by the same organization, and that takes away that autonomy that happened after the USJP fell apart. So it's there's a lot of moving parts, but I think the you know, as Power said, the biggest thing that has to change is money, and if money comes, we can have a series back. But right. Yeah, I like the Pro CX because I don't think that there are enough pros out there who are doing this as a living that can actually, who would benefit from a smaller series. And this way you can get your Cam Dodges, you know, and have them in the spotlight. Mm. And show off that black windbreaker.
Nice windbreaker.
It's a nice windbreaker. It's a nice windbreaker, especially when it's on the top step of the podium. I mean,
every week.
Any black windbreaker.
I will again just reiterate my one complaint about Cam. He needs to pretend
that
he just won a race when he crosses the line, because there are a lot of photographers there and a lot of race promoters that would like to see somebody posting up at the end of a race.
Maybe he's afraid of the officials relegating him.
That's possible. Or knocking over the truss.
Knocking over the truss, yes.
He's not that tall.
Doesn't matter.
You could have won.
I could have pulled it down.
So one more question with this. How many UCI races are in the U.S. left? Is there any chance of this getting mixed up that much with, you know, more Euro races going, you know, Steven Hyde, Jimmy Powers all going across the
Jingle Cross.
Jingle Cross. You've got Warwick, right?
NBX.
Kingsport, Tennessee.
Kingsport. And then are they doing Resolution Cross again in Dallas, I think? Was that just a build up to Austin?
I don't know. It was a build up to Austin. I do not know if it still exists.
I think it still exists because I think Ben Frederick mentioned something on a Dirt Wine interview about going to Texas, which would make sense for him chasing
points. Well, because they have the Oklahoma City weekend, and then there's a weekend in Texas.
Okay.
And as Bill looks for this, that's the other thing. This information is just tough to find sometimes.
Yeah, I did find the payout, which is $5,000 for first.
Oh, $5,000. Yeah. Maybe it's 20. It's 20,000.
I think
total.
It is a $40,000 purse. $40,000 purse, $5,000 for first, and then, you know, you're down to $175 for 20th. And that's, yeah, so that's 20,000, and it's not 40,000, it's 40,000 total, so you have 20,000 for the men, 20,000 for the women.
That's it.
I wonder if you have to be on site to collect your money at the RS race, or will USA Cycling mail that $175 check to you for being in 20th?
It's actually a Red Lobster gift card.
I think you guys pretty much nailed it. You got Jingle Cross, Ruts and Guts.
That's the Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma, yeah. NBX. Or Tulsa. Yeah, NBX, Jingle Cross. Resolution is happening.
Dallas.
Kingsport, Tennessee.
North Carolina Grand Prix.
Oh,
NCGP. Right. Yeah. That's a fun race.
Highlander Cross, which is in Waco.
What? Is that around the time of the Dallas race?
December 19th, December 20th.
Oh, double weekend.
I've been to Waco. That's where Dr. Pepper was found. So they have a museum there.
So, yeah, so you got two weekends in a row. You got Resolution and then Resolution in Dallas and then Highlander in Waco. Nice. And then end up the season, Kingsport.
Oh, beautiful Kingsport, Tennessee.
January 2nd. And then everybody travels
east. You want to go back, pull back for earlier reference. That's your last chance qualifier if you want a UCI point for staging at Nationals.
Yeah, for
sure. Did anybody go back and look at I was making jokes about the points for the Masters now that they sort of plopped this World Championship race on people. And Cyclocross Magazine like replied to my tweet saying, oh, just, you know, stay tuned. There may be rule changes.
What about exactly?
Wait, Allow Masters who have UCI points to
I
race?
I guess so, because my whole thing was like, oh, there are a lot of Masters pissed off right now when they got those UCI points, because that was the whole thing with Masters Worlds. Right. It was only if you did not have a UCI point were you eligible, and that's when we had...
Oh, that was when we witnessed in person somebody. People stopping, people who will remain nameless, stopping.
I have it on video still.
Stopping before the finish line in a UCI race to let people pass them.
So not even that. Yelling at the official, what place am I, am I seventh, what place am I, because you know after 10th then he could cross the line and not
that's
get
a
his
good
UCI
so
point.
That's a good question that it, that is interesting that it really is like a drop in the lap at the end of the season,
right?
If you want to go out to San Jose,
guys who weren't purposely sandbagging or may now be ineligible for
wait, that's this season in the U.S. that they're doing
It's in
2016.
Oh.
Which just seems weird. It seems like...
I thought that was for next year.
No, like, it seems illegitimate that you can just be like, oh, yeah, we're going to have the world championship.
2 months.
Yeah, we're going to do it here.
I mean, at the risk of ruffling all our feathers of people who care about Masters Worlds, like that, that to me sort of says all you need to know about Masters Worlds. It's like, who can show up, who can afford it, who can end up there. I mean, I don't know. I just don't. It's not something...
Did they even have it last year? Did it happen?
Yeah, I think
it was in Switzerland.
Okay.
It was the same place it's supposed to be. Was supposed to be in 2016, and I guess that something.
And then like
nobody showed up.
Yeah, and then like the 15 years before that, it was like the same place in Belgium.
Right.
I'm not going.
Well, I mean, much like much like before they had Masters Worlds in Louisville, when they had it in Europe, hardly any Americans went, and when they had it in Louisville, hardly any Europeans came.
The biggest fallout, other than everybody's derailleurs falling off because they froze, from Masters World is that UCI point where you now have Masters riders who somehow have that rule in their head and think that they will not be eligible for Nationals because they've gotten UCI points. You'll see that on Twitter all the time. Oh, I can't get a UCI point or I won't be eligible. And it's completely wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Completely wrong. It was only for the Masters Worlds, and it will be interesting to see if that still is a rule. It is a silly rule. They should just get rid of it.
And the tire size constrictions for the Masters. Let them ride the 35s.
Yeah, 2.1.
Come on now.
That's what I'm putting on my bike.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I can fit that on that rear.
2.1 what?
Inches.
I mean, do you have enough tubular glue left over for your new... I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Just a lot of stands.
Who's a stand person? Doesn't he make like white tennis shoes?
Come on, Dan Timmerman.
Oh, right. Yes. No? I'm just joking. I know. All this new technology at once, Bill.
You're
shaking my foundation.
Look, we were just talking about you riding your Breezer mountain bike last night.
True. But I have tubes in those tires.
And 26-inch wheels.
And 26-inch wheels. Yeah. And linear pull, the King Creek curve pull brakes.
Direct curve
brakes. I own them, and you know they are better than me. It tells you how much I ride my mountain bike.
But you don't have bar ends.
No.
So you're one step ahead of Nikki Terpstra.
And about a foot and a half shorter.
All right, Taylor, we're going to go out. We're going to do, this is where we do the kids don't follow crossover.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. One song that you've been, that you want to share.
Well, now you changed it up on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was it before? We can go back.
We can do one song. I just wasn't thinking one song from what I had sent you earlier. I was thinking...
We're running out of time.
I was thinking more. Go to Elliot first, then.
All right, Elliot.
So I've been listening to... Well, I went and saw them, and I've been listening to the new Lucero record pretty much nonstop. It's called All a Man Should Do. And I like all of the songs, and I'm trying to think of the one I like the most on it.
There's Baby Don't You Want Me.
Yeah. You're gonna read off everything.
Went Looking for Warren Zevon's Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. They Called Her Killer. That one I really like a lot. I don't know why I like that one. That one's number track 7.
Call a killer boy and now I know why. She looked straight through me with her baby blue eyes. Long dark hair turn one foot out the door. Stole my heart and I'm gonna fall short. It's the kind of love that kills a man. She's never felt such a thing at all. Like that could take a grown man's heart and just cut it right out. Throw it in the backyard, forget that it's there. Till the dogs rip it open and get blood everywhere. It's the kind of love.
Are they coming back around here anytime soon?
I don't know. They tour so much that they will eventually, but I don't know if it's anytime soon. But
that was really nice.
Yeah, that's a great record. I mean, it's definitely a little bit of a... The last couple records definitely had that sort of...
They're edgier.
Brighter, big star, Memphis horns, kind of like, and this is definitely a little bit of a throwback in that it's definitely darker. It's more acoustic. They actually, when they played the show at 9:30, it was a month or so ago, whatever, they played a 45-minute to an hour-long set of just acoustic, not just Ben playing acoustic guitar, but everyone kind of tuned down or turned down, and then they did the full-on kind of rock show. So it was a really long... really, really long show, which was awesome. But they played a lot of stuff off that record, just acoustic, basically. It was great. It was really, really good.
Interestingly, they actually play a Big Star song on that.
They do, yeah. And I think Jody Stevens sings on it, I believe, to play the sings backups. So.
Yes. Yeah. And who's the drummer? Robin... Oh.
The drummer for that
for Lucero,
Roy Barry.
Roy Effenberry.
He always wears like bike hats.
And has, he has a great Instagram feed.
Yes,
he does. Worth following.
He does. There are actually a bunch of them are bike. The guitar player is an old kind of bike dude, like BMX guy as well. So they all have kind of bike connections in some way, shape, or form.
Very good. Yeah, love those guys. You want me to go to Kevin? You still?
I mean, you can go to me. That's fine. Yeah. So. I had told you a bunch of different things that I was had been excited about recently.
Right.
So I would say we don't have to listen to this because we talked about it before.
The Pope record.
We could talk about the Pope record.
Let's not.
But,
I thought you were going to talk about that.
Seriously, the Pope did just drop an album this past week. I just want to point that out if you were not aware.
I was.
No joke.
Okay.
It's like weird electronic music prog rock with like papal liturgies over top of it.
Gotta
it's
get totally to the youth bizarre. Somehow. I mean,
it's totally bizarre. And all the reviews of it, people are like, I never thought I would ever write a review of an album put out by a Pope. And how will people react to my review if I say that it's not good?
Is that what that picture of the meme of like him holding the mic, is that like actually what that's from? Or is that...
No, that's from something totally different.
Oh, I was hoping that was him like...
Good timing, though, right?
Are we going to bring back like Franciscan chants? Like, are they going to be at the top of the charts again?
I hope not. But I had told when Bill and I had been talking about this earlier, there's a bunch of like local DC bands that have put out new stuff lately that I've been excited about and listening to. For instance, Soccer Team, they have a new album out, which is great. First one in,
10 years?
No. Yeah, I think it's got to be almost 10 years. Which is, I think it's called New Real Lessons in Cynicism, something like that. Wrong Bandcamp page.
Shh. Don't give away the magic.
But Real Lessons in Cynicism, that's a good one.
You know, it's bargain priced at $1,000.
Oh no, you can read the whole thing at the bottom. It's hilarious. It goes on and on about how online they put the demos,
right?
Because they're like,
oh,
we never designed these for people to pay money for them,
right?
So awesome. Like that's why we priced it at $1 million, because you shouldn't pay to buy our demos because they were never designed to be released,
right?
So so it's only available at your local record store,
correct?
All right.
Or like the last Soccer Team show I saw, they had nothing because Melissa forgot to bring the 7 inches to sell. So that's a good one. There's a couple others. There's another DC band. Actually, They record at a house in Brookland, so they're your neighbors.
Really?
There's a band called Big Hush.
Oh, yeah.
They actually have their release
tonight.
New album release show tonight.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
But their new album is really good.
But we're here.
We're here.
We could go crash it. It might be still going on.
Because their new... That's not the new album. Washington City Paper has it.
No.
But anyway, it's great. Their first album was...
Stop backseat driving the podcast.
Sorry. You can cut that out.
No.
Their first album was more like shoegaze. So this is a little more, I guess, punk-infused shoegaze, which is good. I really like it. But we don't have to listen to it, but admittedly, the album... track two on that Big Hush album is really great. But the album I've been listening to like constantly on repeat.
Wait, we gotta listen to a little bit, two seconds of this at least.
No, you can listen to more than 2 seconds. Good. So I like that. That's a good one. I mean, check it out. If you're not in the DC area, you probably have never heard of them, but that's
Big
a
Hush.
Good one to check
Big
out.
Hush. Yeah.
Cool.
I'll say the album that I've been totally listening to on
just
repeat.
Just search for Washington City Paper and Big Hush.
You'll
and that'll
get
you. Okay, yeah, but go. The one
the album I've been totally listening to all the time is the new Beachlang album, like on repeat.
Agreed. Yeah.
No duh.
I'm gonna wear that album out.
Yeah. Buy a second copy.
I will.
I know. I saw it. Okay, it's still on the player when I let your dog out when you were gone for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, it's good. That's just an amazing album. So.
Well, what should we play from that?
Oh gosh.
one thing, if people want to like hear something pretty cool from them, and there's a lot of stuff, but the Tiny Desk concert, the acoustic Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah, that's how I first heard them, and that just blew me out of the water, and from that point on, I was like a fan.
Yeah,
it's awesome, but the, also James Alex Snyder, who's the lead singer and guitarist, he's done a bunch of great interviews, too, and so, it's just really cool. I mean, I really love the music and, like, the message of it, but his whole like approach and ethos is just
it's a neat story because he started in as a kid they had a band Weston that got huge and got wooed by major labels and wined and dined, and they sort of lost I think control of what they were doing, and sort of he lost the vision of what he wanted to do, and then just stopped doing music doing music as a job forever, and then came back and years later in his mid-30s started this new band Beachlang, and is just doing everything super indie, super DIY, and it's blowing up and it's everybody's favorite new album, so it can be done, and it's his whole thing is just don't give up on your dreams. I mean, it sounds corny, but that was that's sort of that ethos you're talking about, so
dude, play track 4. I like that one.
Yeah, I agree.
Try to use my brain, but every time I try my heart.
So that one's definitely worth picking up and available on Bandcamp. Just search for Beach Slang.
Totally. And to connect it to cyclocross.
Yes.
Closing out the season, I will be going up to Philadelphia to hang out with my friend and teammate, Brett Rothmeyer, and we'll do the Christmas Cross race on December 19th, and then that night, go see Beach Slang at the Unitarian Church.
We are trying to go up there as well to see that show.
Yay!
Yeah.
I would like to do that as well.
Me too.
Field trip.
Field trip. All right. Cyclocross field trip. Kevin.
All right. So I bet you guys all think you know what I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick some ska band, and all, but nah, that's not the case.
Are there even new ska bands?
Yes.
Fourth wave?
I don't know. I don't listen to ska.
I think anymore. There are, but there's not a lot.
Are they now emo bands? Now that emo is goth? I'm so confused about music.
They lost their horn section and then, you know.
Dyed the hair black.
Anywho.
Got a white belt.
I have, yes. They whited out all the checker print and just now it's just
that's white.
All white. I think going black would be easier than white, but we'll see.
Maybe that's on the other side when you flip it over.
I think it's just brown at that point.
Yeah.
I have been really into that new Ryan Adams album where he covers Taylor Swift.
I have not heard this.
My God. It's called 1989. It's actually, he just covers her album beginning to end. And it's actually quite spectacular. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan. I actually tried listening to the Taylor Swift album just to see, oh, maybe I am a Taylor Swift fan. I didn't realize it. Nope. Now the Taylor Swift fan.
So that was going to be my question, because that was sort of the litmus test for who liked the Ryan Adams album, is if you heard most people, although I have found some differences, but most people, if they knew the Taylor Swift album, did not like the Ryan Adams album. But if people just heard the Ryan Adams album without knowing any of the Taylor Swift songs, Shake It Up accepted, since you can't not know
that.
Can't
miss that one, yeah.
They seem to enjoy it on their own. You know, that album on its own, just not.
I mean, I think it's great. I think he did a wonderful job with the album.
All right, you got a song.
I really liked Wildest Dreams.
Okay. Let me see if I can actually find it. It says it's streaming here. Hang on.
It is comical that he chose a Taylor Swift album of all, because apparently I heard the Jason Isbell's WTF podcast with Marc Maron. He talks about his like friendship with Ryan Adams, Marc Maron said something like, oh, Ryan Adams must really like your music and be into it. He's like, well, yeah, he does, but all he listens to is like black metal. Like, that's the only thing he listens to.
Oh, he's done everything is the crazy thing. That guy is kind
of
like.
So I'm like, is he really, I mean, I guess he's, you know, music is sort of his job, so he can kind of have this diverse taste, but.
All right, Wildest Dreams, see if this works.
Still Beach Slang.
Huh. Wait, he covered Beach Slang too?
While he was covering Taylor Swift, so it was at the same time.
Amazing.
All right, I think I got it now. Wildest Dreams.
From the crowds, I thought heaven can't help me now. Nothing lasts forever. This is gonna take me down. She's so tall, dancing like still. She's so bad, she does it so well. I can see the end as it begins. My one condition is say you remember.
Having not heard the Taylor Swift album, I could see listening to that.
Yeah, that's really...
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't listen to Taylor Swift's album, and I must say, the album Full and Full, like, it's a great album.
Well, I mean, that doesn't sound dissimilar from like all the Ryan Adams stuff.
Right,
like,
right. So no, it's Ryan sounds Adams. Like Ryan Adams. I mean, he just redid it in Ryan Adams.
And it's not like she didn't start as a country song. Stress.
Right, yeah. This one's kind of cool, too.
I just had to see how much this changed.
It's a little different.
Still too late, nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many days. I can't make them stay. That's what people say. That's what people say. I keep cruising, can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind. It's gonna be alright. Cause the players gonna play and the haters gonna hate. Baby, I'm just gonna shake it all, shake it all.
See, the difference there is you can go onto like YouTube or even SoundCloud, and it is silly with Shake It Off covers.
Oh, really?
Like
absolutely.
Every kind, you know, acoustic, everything else. So that one, yeah.
He seemed to harness a Bruce, sort of a Bruce Springsteen vibe to that, yeah, in a way, with that rim shot and the kind of the echoey vocals.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was, I mean, it's well done. It's not something I would, that's not something I'd listen to a lot. But
kept listening to hear the tenor sax solo.
Rest in peace, Clarence Clemons. Someone pour one out for him right now. My bottle's empty. Can is empty.
My choice here was a Dana Swimmer.
Ah, yeah, the Ben from Athens.
It's good, yeah.
And that was the one that Elliot recommended, and I've been listening to it a lot. It was funny before I looked over. I was, oh, that's where I heard it, because I wasn't sure where I'd come up with this band. Then I remember that you had sent me the link, and definitely a good find. So this is Glacier. Dana Swimmer. Where are they? Athens?
We still
Athens,
have Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift's still back there.
I swear I'm turning these other ones off.
Mashup. Oh,
listen to that.
That's an interesting mashup. There's no sax solo yet. We're still waiting. Still waiting.
All right. Get rid of that. There we go. Not editing any of this out.
As the days go by, I sometimes try hell out of.
I have a soft spot for singers that go like right to that edge.
Right.
Where they feel like it's all just going to fall apart and sort of keep it together. So that's Dana,
and
Dana Swimmer.
He's like that live too. He's sort of like, I think generally he has like kind of wild and crazy hair. He's kind of all limbs.
I'm about to
and
say, I think he sounded like he had big hair.
Yeah, big hair, kind of a lot. I think he's pretty tall, he's all kind of limbs, and it's just like, I think he's kind of teeters on the edge of that when they play as well. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So, everybody racing this weekend?
Yeah, yes, very much so. I'll remember my shoes.
You know,
and
even if you don't remember your shoes and helmet, you could probably turn around and get them.
Right, because it's only in Reston.
It's only in Reston, and the
still
race
far away though.
in the races. It is Northern Virginia, and that's a scary place.
I ain't scared.
Playing at bike shops, probably could just pick up some platforms.
It's true. I could stop at the bike lane and buy some stuff out there or something.
Awesome.
I will not forget it, though. Knock on wood.
All right, cool. Well, I think we did it.
Thank you
all for coming over and hanging out and talking cyclocross and music on this special edition of Crosshairs Radio. We'll be back next week with a TBD, TBA, something.
With people that have UCI TBD. Points, probably. Most likely maybe, somebody
maybe,
with UCI points.
Maybe. We got there's some interesting ones on the list. But yeah, definitely a 101 next week. So we will see you then. Bye.
Thanks, y'all.
See ya.
And there you have it. And that's what they say most of the time at the end of podcasts. Gotta try to change that one up too. But in the meantime, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Crosshairs Radio.